This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
Dynasty Happy Hour presents the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. Keaton Denlay, Tim Torch, and Dynasty Frank.
Welcome into the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. My name is Keaton Denlay. I am joined tonight by Tim Torch. And Tim, we've got a babysitter tonight, so it's just the two of us, as they say. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. It's really crazy. So, Frank, the court came back and they said, you know what? We made a mistake. He has to serve his full suspension. So he gets another week. We tried to get Nate. Apparently, he's off doing stuff with his wife. Ayo.
Hey, there it is.
And it's just us tonight. So this should be a really fun show. Just a two-man booth. And hey, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we actually got a group deal on the babysitter. So we have the babysitter watching Frank and Nate's kids. So we're good there. Kind of get the group discount. So today is September 20th, if I didn't say that off the top as we're recording this. So if there's any news that breaks on or after this date, you know, you'll have to forgive us for that. But it is Wednesday, September 20th. And so that means we're leading up to week three. But before we move on to the week three action, Tim, what's your biggest takeaway from week two?
Week two is just full of a lot of different things. A lot of people want to talk about some of the hot waiver wire pickups. A couple of takeaways I have. Number one is, boy, the week one pickups for waiver wires were so crucial at this point. You have Tariq Cohen, you have Buck Allen, and those guys that can really fill the back end or replace a David Johnson and some of those key players that may have been lost so far this season. And it really exemplifies the importance of staying on top of the waiver wire and just staying close to the vest. And number two, and I don't know if anyone has seen these tweets put out, but it's Ezekiel Elliott. We all know what's going on, the big picture litigation issues that he's going through right now. But there's something else, I think, that's just going on with him. And if you're looking maybe just beyond this season, if you're in a keeper dynasty format, then you may want to consider cashing out on Zeke Elliott while he still can get that top value. There was pictures going around, and I don't want to just go by the pictures, but just the rippedness of his body, and you could kind of see the tone going away over the years. Some people started putting like the old lineman picture with it, which obviously isn't him, but you could, if you look at him, he does look thicker this year than he did last year, which may or may not be what he was going for. I'm just starting to get a little bit worried that maybe that knuckleheadness is more than just the off the field stuff. It may be leaking over into the professional side of things more than we thought.
Yeah. I was really some of the off season stuff and things that were coming out about him and the troubles that he was having were really surprising to me. Cause it seemed to me like he was a guy, once he got on the field, that he was all work. He was going to get in there and do his job.
Right.
But now maybe you're right. Maybe we are seeing those off the field stuff start and the stresses of going through his appeals and everything. We'll get into that. But maybe some of that stuff's either leading into his gameplay, or he's letting it, you know, get the best of him. He's not putting in the work that he needs to. I mean, some of those plays were in that game where he looked like he quit. I mean, I'm not inside this guy's head if he was tired or cramping up or what, but he was loafing towards the end of that game, and that's something that's concerning, especially when you have a player that you spent that much capital on. At least hopefully you got a discount on him this year, I guess.
Yeah, in pass blocking specifically, if he's giving up and he gets Dak Prescott leveled back there and injured, you have to wonder just what kind of stance this team is going to take with him and the amount of headache this guy's actually worth. The 2018 draft class is loaded with running backs. Dak is their quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and Zeke Elliott, you know what? If he's going to be this much of a headache, they may just try to find a way to move on.
Yeah, that's a good point. So one of the things that you said there about Tariq Cohen and Buck Allen, too, I wanted to kind of go back on that, is they were week one waiver claims because of the workload they were getting. Tariq Cohen showed his playmaking and that they were going to use him in the passing game. And then, you know, Buck Allen, obviously, with the Woodhead injury, you figured that he was going to be used in the passing game as well. But then those week one waiver claims only became better in week two, now that, you know, Terrence West is dealing with some injuries. You have Jordan Howard dealing with injuries as well, and injuries all across the Bears offense. And it just seems like the week one ads just got better. We didn't really get a whole new wave of good ads for week two. At least that was sort of my take on it. It's like, man, I wish I would have gone harder on those, on the Cohen, Buck Allen in week one. But unfortunately, I think I missed that boat. So my biggest takeaway, though, from week two, and it's sort of been a cumulative thing this season, is the effect that bad offensive line play can have on an offense as a whole. When you see some of these teams, for example, you have Cincinnati, Seattle, and the New York Giants. I mean, you just have superstars on these teams that are just being dragged down by just terrible, terrible offensive line play. Seattle got their run game going a little bit this last week, but you still haven't seen that. You still haven't seen Russell Wilson back to form, being able to, you know, sit in the pocket and take those shots. He's obviously great at extending the plays and everything, but really worry about some of these teams with their offensive line, because that's not something you can just fix. I mean, generally, offensive line play gets worse as you suffer injuries and things like that. Hopefully, they find some way to gel and give these teams some hope, especially with, like, their running games. I mean, but they also have backfield by committees, so it's just one of those things that's just not excited about some of those teams with those issues. And on the reverse side of that, you see teams that are making turnarounds from last year. And last week, I talked about the Rams and turning that offense around, and the team looks so much better. And one of the big differences, aside from Jeff Fisher being gone, is their offensive line play. And I think it is a testament to that team and what they wanted to do, bringing in Andrew Whitworth over the offseason, and just being able to provide time, not only for Jared Goff, but running lanes for Todd Gurley. And I just think offensive line is an underrated thing that we don't think about in fantasy football, but it's definitely worth looking into and keeping an eye on some of these teams and how those offensive units come along.
Something that I had mentioned when we first started the podcast, and this is how I truly feel, is that I like to build my teams and core players around head coaches that are offensive minded. I love the teams that have that offensive guru that's putting his stamp on the team, that's going to be around for a while. Especially when you're talking to longer term formats, but if they've been there for a couple years, say what you want about Ben McAdoo, there are a few really good pieces in there, like Shane Vereen, that you can at least mine from that team. Sure. Another team, Adam Gase, there's pieces and parts like Devontae Parker, Jay Ajayi that you're taking from it. Hugh Jackson, there are pieces from that team. Corey Coleman was great in the first couple of weeks. You saw flashes from David Joku and Isaiah Crowell. I think this is definitely going to be a get-right situation. I love the teams that have these offensive-minded head coaches that will stick around and really have the opportunity to form their teams.
There's a level of creativeness and innovation that goes on in those offenses, because those guys, like you said, they just have that offensive mind that even if they don't have elite talent at some of these positions, they can scheme and work their way around to make it work, instead of just thinking, well, I'll just ground and pound and play defense. You know, they're trying to come up with ways to be creative and get those opportunities and get their playmakers the ball in ways they can make a difference. With the takeaways out of the way, let's get into the tilts. Tim, are you got something you're tilting on this week?
So I'll start off my tilt by talking about sex trafficking in India.
Not again.
No, I'm completely joking. My tilt this week, I'm going to bring it down a little bit. Because we had kind of been talking before the podcast started, and I've had a little bit of a surreal experience at work recently, and it's going to center my work life, and I always relate it to NFL or NFL to work life. The Cleveland Browns specifically, I listen to a lot of talk radio in Cleveland, and there are people already calling for Hugh Jackson's head and this front office's head, and for them to blow everything up already. And this is similar to the job that I'm in, where the person in charge was was given a task with a group of people that it was impossible for them to take over. And they tried to be as progressive as they could. And even with Hugh Jackson, they're trying to be very progressive. They're trying to do things differently than everyone else and move the franchise forward. And they're not given the opportunity. Give them time. This roster of the Cleveland Browns has been blown up for years. They have missed on so many first-round picks. And Brandon Weeden, Johnny Manziel, Cam Irving, all of these players that were just missed on. And you're not giving them an opportunity. What they're building there is good. The offensive line is starting to gel. They have quality running backs. Yes, Kenny Britt. He's struggling.
Kenny Britt is terrible.
He's struggling right now, but how much time did he really have with DeShone Kizer working with the first team during the preseason? You're not even giving this guy an opportunity to develop chemistry. It just doesn't make sense to me. Just like with the 76ers, trust the process a little bit. Give them time to work. They're recreating this roster and doing so many things. You have to at least see where it goes.
Yeah, you know, there's not a bad lesson to be learned there too for people in their fantasy teams. I mean, if you're 0-2 or 1-1 and you're disappointed with your team, it's just week two. I mean, you've got time. Give these players some time. You got some changes going on, some offensive schemes, and some players are dealing with either a new team or they're dealing with a scheme change or something. You got to give them some time to adjust and don't just bail or worse, you know, quit on your team. You just got to stick with it and have some patience. I think that's something that you can take out of something that's supposed to be a tilt and irrational, but that one's actually a pretty good lesson to be learned from that. So my tilt is not as beneficial, I suppose. I don't think anybody's going to be able to take anything from this. So I'm going to preface this by saying, if I say something on the podcast that's just totally off the wall and you guys think is wrong, by all means, come to me on Twitter.
Oh boy.
And tell me why I'm wrong, but
you on the podcast?
You can tell me on the podcast. I'm talking to the listeners, the three listeners that are out there. If I've said something that's totally off base and you have something that you think that you can teach me from it, you know, tell me I'm wrong, but do it before the games. The worst thing is when you would say something on the podcast on Wednesday and then something happens on Thursday or Friday. And for example, last week, I think Frank said to start Sam Bradford, right, on the podcast. But then it's like, we didn't know he was going to be out. So don't come at me with something that I couldn't have known now, then. You know what I mean? So just, and it's great. By all means, tell me if I'm wrong, but do it before the games happen. Like, I've been pretty vocal about my dislike of Davante Adams. I just don't think he's a good player. I think he's in a great situation, but I don't think he's a good player. And then I get people who come to me on Twitter and go, oh, did you see what he did on Sunday? It's like, yeah, after Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb went out for the game. Like, if I knew that was the case too, I would have said he would have been my start of the week. Like, he's the right? number one wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Like, that would have been great. But so it's just one of those things. Like, if I'm wrong, by all means, tell me, but do it before the games. Don't come to me on Monday morning and be that Monday morning quarterback and tell me I was wrong with some future knowledge. That drives me nuts.
What, you can't tell that Sam Bradford's knee is going to swell up from however many surgeries he's had and completely destroy his week?
Well, that one's obvious, though. I'm not the one who said to start Bradford. That's on Frank. I knew Sam Bradford was going to get hurt. That's just a given. That knee is a time bomb, but... Yeah, just, you know, if you want to have a discussion with us, by all means, bring it up on Twitter. Just don't do it after the games. That's not productive.
That's great. So
moving on to the news and notes, we were talking before the podcast got started that this is generally just like a rundown of like the MASH unit on who checked into the emergency room over the weekend. And it just seems like it's going to be that every week at this point. So we're just going to run through some injuries. When we get to one that's specifically interesting, we'll stop and talk about it a little bit. The first one on my list is Corey Coleman. On IR with a broken hand, and no, this, I'm not retweeting a link from 2016. This just happened. He's on IR. I believe he's designated to return, so at least 8 weeks. But for redraft purposes, I think that you can pretty much be done with Corey Coleman. I mean, he kind of needs his hands. In his place, Hollywood Higgins got 11 targets and a carry. He finished with a line of 7 receptions for 95 yards. Tim, are you interested in Higgins?
I'm not. And I have a pretty firm belief that if I'm going to pick up a wide receiver in redraft, it's got to be someone that I feel pretty confident in. So, for example, if you look at this past week, we knew John Brown was out. I was more than confident picking up J.J. Nelson where I could and plugging him in. Mm-hmm. I would rather have a Ted Ginn Jr. type of player. I do not want these guys who are a little bit more developmental, that are just getting their first shot at action. That's not what I'm looking for. I'll take Kendall Wright over what Hollywood Higgins is putting out right now. There's still plenty of targets to go around if Kenny Britt sticks around. As I mentioned before, the tight ends are starting to pick it up in Cleveland. I just can't do it. Now, that could easily blow up in my face, but after watching the film, I'm pretty confident that the three interceptions that DeShone Kizer had were all thrown in the direction of Hollywood Higgins. So that shows me that he's not getting separation and that they're still not on the same page.
I am interested in Higgins a little bit, but there's a dynamic that goes on in football that when the backup quarterback comes in, they tend to target the like backup wide receivers that they were working with. Mm-hmm. And if Higgins was just brought up from the practice squad, there's a chance that, you know, Kevin Hogan and Higgins were getting some work together. So the Hollywood Hogan connection. And I think that may have something to do with this. So I'm not ready to jump on just yet. I would kind of like to see it another week. If you have a roster spot to burn, I don't hate adding Higgins, but I wouldn't be comfortable just rolling him out there after 1 week of even being on the active roster.
Was he your number one pickup of the week? So out of all the guys that were kind of floating through right now, was he the guy that was probably the target of the week?
I think that he was for me. We talked about it actually in our chat where in the Scott Fish Bowl, I like desperately needed wide receivers, and I was trying to figure out how hard I needed to go on Higgins because I didn't love the guy, but I just needed somebody on that team to probably slot in this week or next week. Ended up not getting him, so I didn't go hard enough for Higgins. But I think that it was kind of a slow week on waivers. I picked up Jason Witten in a few leagues. He was still available for some reason.
Wow.
And then he's the number one
tight end so far.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, that's crazy, especially in PPR leagues. But I guess that's a good segue into tight ends, because if you have Jason Witten, you're probably feeling pretty good because the rest of the tight ends are hurt. Greg Olsen is out with a broken foot. He's on IR designated to return. You have Gronk dealing with another injury. He's saying he's fine. But as evidenced in recent headlines, the word fine means absolutely nothing in the NFL anymore. It's the same thing as being questionable. Like, I don't know what that means. So Tyler Eifert has some nicks and bruises. Jimmy Graham has an ankle injury that's may limit him. I'm not convinced that Jimmy Graham's going to be playing this coming week. You got Jordan Reed, who's got injuries to every part of his body imaginable: chest, shoulder, foot. He's just a mess at this point. And then I feel like Kyle Rudolph might as well be injured via Sam Bradford, because it's going to be tough to use him as long as Bradford's out. Which of these tight ends concerns you the most, or how do you feel about these guys going forward?
I will stick with my guy, and he has been a under the helmet recommendation for so long, and I have been 100% on board. If Jordan Reed is out, I am playing Vernon Davis. He has already out-snapped Jordan Reed through 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. In week two, he out-snapped Jordan Reed 55-40. Even at his accelerated age, even he's what, like 50 now, because he's been in the league since he was 21.
I think he's 52 because those years with the 49ers count as a couple extra.
Even at 80% of what he was, he's still more athletic than like 90% of the tight ends out there. Yeah. I love Vernon Davis. I think if Jordan Reed sits, he would easily be a very startable tight end for me.
You know, it's funny. If you had just, drafted Zach Ertz, for example, you wouldn't have to worry about any of these tight end injuries. You just have a stud at the position.
The number three tight end right now. By the way, your top five tight ends, other than Travis Kelce, you have Jason Witten, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Delanie Walker, and Rob Gronkowski after the crazy week. But then Jesse James at number six. That just tells you how crazy the tight end position is, and you just never know what's going to happen.
Right. You know, it was funny. I was just trolling through some NFL stats the other day. Zach Ertz is the number three receiver in the league as far as receiving yards. He has the third most receiving yards in the league right now. Yes. And he's only behind Antonio Brown, and who's the other? Adam Thielen, who had a monster week one as far as yardage. And then it's Zach Ertz. And then there's a pretty sizable gap. And I think Travis Kelce's like four or five on that list. So you definitely have boom or bust with some of these tight ends. You have really great ones, or you just have disasters at some of these positions. It's just not great. So moving down the injury report here, we have a couple Titans come up next. We have Corey Davis is going to be out this week with a hamstring injury. And DeMarco Murray's dealing with a hamstring of his own. So, Tim, what are you doing with Tennessee? Are you starting anybody from this team?
If DeMarco Murray's out, and if someone dropped, if for whatever reason anyone dropped Derrick Henry, and I have seen this in a couple of situations that someone has flat out dropped Derrick Henry just because maybe their draft was so early in the preseason. And there was a point that Derrick Henry looked like he was running through mud. So I could understand completely if someone dropped him at one point.
Right.
But if you have him and Murray is sitting, he is a running back one. He would be, if I did rankings, he would be a guy that would hit the top. He would probably be somewhere in that six to 10 range, but easily a running back one for this. Corey Davis being out, Eric Decker should see more volume. And personally, and I've taken a lot of flack for it, I'm just not a Rishard Matthews guy. He is a very good wide receiver for the NFL. I'm not excited about having him as part of my team.
Yeah, that's fair. And I don't know what happened to Derrick Henry, because I was one of those people thinking, man, this guy sucks. Like, I thought he was supposed to be good. All the dynasty analysts were telling me he was good. And he was terrible in the preseason. And then this last week, it was like a different guy this last week. I'm not sure what got into him, if the games count and now he cares more or what it was. But he was ready to go this last week. That was great to watch.
But that agility still sucks, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, when you're a man his size, there's just no shot at that. You know, you're just not going to be agile at all, and you don't need to be. Just run people over once you get to that second level. So another running back who's dealing with some injuries, we have Rob Kelly with a rib injury. Looks like he didn't break anything, but he's got some cartilage damage in there. It's obviously going to be a pain issue. If he does play, he's going to be wearing one of those jackets. Looks like a barrel underneath their shoulder pads. So that's not great. And he wasn't an agile person to begin with, and you start strapping armor to him, and I don't think that's going to be good news for Rob Kelly, but it does excite me for Chris Thompson. Are you looking for Chris Thompson on the waivers?
Oh yes. Yes, you should. He's definitely a guy that I like to have around to toss in a flex type of position. More than anything else, he's a guy that is good just for a nice floor, especially if you're in a PPR league. With that said, Samaje Perine is my guy. He's a guy that I have stuck with throughout the process. I maybe haven't been as high as some of those other guys willing to take him at like 104, 105 in their rookie drafts, dynasty wise.
Yeah.
But I think he has plenty of talent. He is definitely more talented than Rob Kelly. And I don't think Jay Gruden wants to be the guy to run Chris Thompson out there for 25 between the tackles rushes.
It is funny, though, because I'm listening to the way that Gruden talks about Thompson is you realize how much he really does like this guy.
Oh,
and
so
I think
much.
That it would be devastating to his play calling and his game plan if he lost him for any period of time. Because he trusts him with the ball. He's obviously their best pass catching back by a mile. And it's one of those things, like, you can tell that he's having to have somebody hold him back when he's looking at the play sheet and stuff, like wanting to give Chris Thompson the ball more. And he knows that he just can't because of his size. And just, it's not the kind of a, he's not the pound him up the middle type running back as they say. So I have to get that in there. Moving down, we got the next guy here, Demaryius Thomas. He was dealing with a groin injury, and now it's apparently the infection has spread from his groin into his hamstring. So he has all sorts of soft tissue issues going on. He's been limited in practice. As long as Demaryius Thomas is at least practicing, even if he's limited, I'm comfortable rolling him out there. Trevor Siemian's been playing well. And I think that Demaryius Thomas, he's obviously a vet, and you know, him and Sanders have been working together for a long time. I don't think there's anything really to worry about. They may be more cautious with him than anything else. So if he's practicing even limited, I'm ready to roll him out there. How do you feel about Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, it's weird that he's this banged up already and still practicing, because I remember years past where they would do everything they could just to rest this guy throughout the week. So it's really interesting that he is still practicing. You cannot not play Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
And you nailed it. When he's practicing, he's going to play. And if he's going to play, targets are going to be funneled his direction.
Yeah. So one more bit of news here. And this isn't injury related, but it is somebody losing their job. The offensive coordinator for the Bengals has been made the latest scapegoat in the NFL coaching carousel. Ken Zampezi is out the door. They have promoted Bill Lazor to offensive coordinator. You know, and I've done the listeners here a disservice in not looking up Bill Lazor's tendencies as a play caller, but I don't think it really even matters. It's different than what they were doing, and anything different has to be an improvement at this point. So, if there is a buy low window, and if you are interested in any Bengals, I think that now is the time to try to get them. I mean, we'll know probably in a week or two, you know, pretty definitively if this team's going to get it going or not under their new OC. But I would hate to miss out on AJ Green if this is the week where they're like, screw it, we're going to give him 15 targets. You know, you want to get in on that beforehand. And I think that Bill Lazor, if he's anything, he's not dumb, and he knows who the playmakers are on that team. So hopefully the Bengals get rolling. Is there any optimism for you for Cincinnati?
Oh, there should be. Bill Lazor is responsible for the most voluminous year of Lamar Miller's career. So take that for what it is. He is responsible for Lamar Miller having a bigger year than you would expect. So hopefully you take some solace in him just being maybe a play caller that prefers to throw to the running back. I hope so, because to my unprofessional eye, Joe Mixon seems like the most talented running back in that backfield. He is big enough. He is fast enough. He has incredible hands out of the backfield. That offensive line isn't doing him any favors, so that will definitely hold him back. But there are plenty of things going right on this team for Mixon to at least get some run. If David Johnson was able to start to take off with the team that was fielded around him, then Joe Mixon should have an opportunity to do something more than what he's currently doing.
Yeah, you know, I would like the Bengals so much more if you just removed Jeremy Hill's name off the roster.
Yes.
And if it was just Mixon and Bernard, I think that they're both useful. And Bernard's been good in spots. He's gotten some plays where he's gained quite a few yards that it probably shouldn't have been there because the offensive line and the blocking is so terrible. But I think that you start giving Mixon 5-8 more carries a game, and he might start to find that rhythm that he needs to get rolling. So hopefully they go that direction with their new offense. So before we get into the sit starts and our streamers, I'm going to take a moment to thank our sponsors for the show, the Sit or Start app. The Sit or Start app, you can do these side-by-side player comparisons in this app. Now, they've done 33,000 player comparisons through the app over the first 2 weeks, as far as people have submitted those. And there is, in week one, they had a 67% accuracy on these. I'm sorry, week one, they had a 68% accuracy. In week two, they had a 67% accuracy. Now, that's great. Being two-thirds accurate on what's basically a 50-50 proposition is going to be a huge help to you, especially if you're making those decisions and using this as a part of your arsenal. You're listening to us. You're looking at the stats. You're checking out projections on other sites or anything like that. But add the Sit or Start app to your arsenal there, and you'll get obviously the comparison tool is great. You'll also get all their news and notes in the podcast through the app. And then don't forget to use our referral code TILT, because you'll get double entries into that giveaway of the NFL tickets. So thanks, Sit or Start app, for sponsoring the show. And before we do the sit starts and streamers, I want to give our listeners a chance to be tilted. I want to be your guys' voice, and we're going to let you guys have a moment on the podcast here to vent, and you're going to vent through Tim, because he's just channeling all of this rage that happened over the weekend. So Tim, what are some of the tilts that we got on Twitter from the listeners?
Oh, we got some good ones. FF Gods 412. Can Crowell rush for more than half a yard at a time? Bought all in on this bum. Hashtag
oh, no.
Dominate FF. So Nate Hamilton, who's been on the podcast before, when people are so quick to move on from good young players, newsflash, not every rookie will pan out and is ready to play in the NFL. Hashtag tilting. Another good one. At UKLG1991, where to begin? Jimmy Graham, Jordan Howard, Zeke, Mike Wallace versus the damn Browns. goddamn.
Oh no.
DeMarco Murray doing sweet FA. I don't get all these DGAF and all this other stuff. I don't get all the acronyms. I'm so behind.
I'd spell it out for you, but Tyler would get mad at me for saying naughty words.
Bill Latin. How about Amari Cooper versus Michael Crabtree battle went down? I had Amari and my wife had Crabtree. She won by 5 points.
Oh gosh. He should have known that Crabtree's the number one receiver in Oakland.
At Fife1919, I'm tilted that Sammy Watkins thinks the earth is flat. Now I need to trade him for sheer stupidity alone. I love it. I want to get one more in because this was great because of my dynasty sense. At Travis Teschner, I think that's how you say the last name. So I apologize, Travis, if that's not how you say it. Traded Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, and Nuke all in a span of 4 months in one league to one team who is now in first place after being dead last.
Yeah, I imagine that is unfortunate. I don't blame you for cashing out on Tyreek Hill, but losing Hunt and Hopkins too. Oh man, that is tough.
Thank you so much, everyone. And before we move on, this is turning into my favorite segment. It's this is a stress reliever when I get to talk about my tilts for the week, but when everyone else gets to put them out there and I feel like we're going to need to do something where I have like a crystal ball and I'm channeling the Twitterverse for your tilts. This is great. I love this segment of the show. I hope everyone keeps sending them in.
Yeah, they're very therapeutic for us. And it's funny because in the fantasy community, the beautiful thing is one out of every 10 people feels your pain at least, you know, or 12 people, whatever it is. Cause we all have, you know, those DeMarco Murrays on our teams and stuff. And it's just nice to feel that somebody else is there. There's that camaraderie that you have when you get to be tilted together. So yeah, keep sending us those tilts throughout the week and we'll get them on the show. We're on Twitter at DHH Fantasy Tilt. If you can't fit them in 140 characters, that's fine. Just go ahead and message it to us through the DMs and we'll get those read because those are definitely a lot of fun. So Sammy Watkins believing the earth is flat. That's got to be, I wonder if that's tied to Jared Goff not knowing where the sun rises and sets. Oh, they've got some interesting guys over there in Los Angeles.
Right,
that is nuts. Okay, so moving on to our starts of the week. I'm going to start here with the first one because I got to get this out of the way because it's going to feel gross even saying it. I'm starting Kelvin Benjamin with some confidence this week.
Woo!
I'm digging for this one. So I think that that Cam Newton has obviously struggled, but with Greg Olsen out of the lineup, Kelvin Benjamin received 8 targets last week, and I think that's more than enough to be productive for him, especially if you're in a PPR league or even standard because he's a huge threat to score. But looking at last season, in his 2 games against the Saints, he had 11 receptions for 142 yards. And that was Cam Newton's. That was a down year for Cam Newton and that offense as a whole. So I think that you can start him this week with some confidence. The Saints are allowing the most points to opposing wide receivers in the league through the first 2 weeks of the season. And like I said, without Olsen, there's a lot of work to go around in that offense. And I'm starting to believe that Cam Newton just is incapable of throwing the ball less than 10 yards. So look for big things from Kelvin Benjamin because Devin Funchess, as we've said on the show before, is not going to be the answer in Carolina. So start Kelvin Benjamin with some confidence this week.
Wow. Right team, right position, might be wrong player. And this is actually why I was really glad that Frank wasn't on this week.
You're not going to pick Devin Funchess, are you?
I am going to pick Devin Funchess.
Oh, no.
The wide receiver for the Panthers.
Hold on a second. I have to call Frank and tell him that this is going on. He's not going to stand for this.
You need to slide into his DMs right now and tell him what is going on so he can drop off his Italian grandpa and hurry home and jump on the podcast.
Oh, gosh.
I am going Devin Funchess, a wide receiver that has out-snapped Kelvin Benjamin and has also, in my opinion, looked better than Kelvin Benjamin. With Greg Olsen out, you started to see Devin Funchess almost take over a tight end type of position from Greg Olsen, the pass-catching tight end type of position. He had 6 targets and 4 receptions with Greg Olsen out. If that continues, I could easily see Funchess going off against the New Orleans Saints. Now, my second guy, and I want to jump in before you actually take him from me because I don't know who your next guy is going to be. And I want to take Smoke and Jay Cutler for my quarterback streamer of the week. Again, it feels dirty saying it, but he is going against the New York Jets, and he's only 29% owned in Yahoo leagues. I feel so dirty saying it, but this Jets team is terrible. And one of Frank Caliendo, he would do the Charles Barkley impression.
Terrible. Oh, yeah.
It's just terrible. Absolutely terrible. I feel like that's how you should refer to teams like the Jets or the Colts. They're absolutely terrible. And he has to be a starter this week. He has an opportunity to be a top 5 quarterback, and you can stream him easily.
I can't believe you stole my streamer out from under me.
I knew it had to be.
Golly. Yeah. So, and this is funny. I mean, as a Chargers fan, you know, going back to Cutler's days, even with Denver, this guy is like must see television. I just love watching Jay Cutler play. One, because his deep ball is like one of the prettiest deep balls like ever. When he gets time to take his 7-step drops and just chuck it, I just love that. But just his mannerisms and everything about Jay Cutty being the D-gaff quarterback that he is, it's just amazing. And how he just will target his receivers with reckless abandon. That's always great there too. So last week, you know, and remember, this was his first game with a new team, and they were on the road last week, and he still had 230 passing yards and a touchdown with no turnovers. That's got to be improved this week at the Jets. They're giving up the 3rd most points to quarterbacks so far this season. And I think this extends not only obviously to start Jay Cutler, but any Dolphins that you can get in your lineup basically against the Jets. I'm rolling out Parker, Landry, Cutler, Ajayi. Get those guys in your lineups because that's going to be a good matchup this week. And I'm obviously you can take advantage of the Jets in just about every facet of the game. They're giving up the 4th most points to running backs. And I don't think you're afraid of them when you start lining up receivers either, especially with Cutler's tendency to target his big guys. So for the sits of the week, I'm going to go out on a huge limb here and say Paul Perkins. No. that's obviously a limb that's already fallen off the tree and is on the ground. But I am going to sit Leonard Fournette this week if you have a better option. Taking on Baltimore, that has been a stifling defense so far this season. And Leonard Fournette last week with Allen Robinson out of the lineup only had 2.9 yards per carry, only had 40 yards rushing on the game. Yeah, he was saved by a touchdown. But I think that, Baltimore's not stupid. They know that Jacksonville doesn't want to pass the ball. They're depleted with injuries across that receiving core. So I think that it's going to be a rough week for Leonard Fournette at playing against the Ravens defense.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I'm glad we moved on from talking about Jay Cutler's deep balls.
Oh, I love those deep balls.
Michael Crabtree is probably going to have to be my sit of this week. And I think Washington is a defense that can appreciate that Crabtree is going to be the wide receiver one for this team. And it would probably lead to Amari Cooper being the GOAT this week. Amari Cooper Cooper. I'm not as good at this as Frank is.
Yeah. I can't make that one fit.
So I think Crabtree has to be the sit this week. And it's more also towards a positional type of sense where Josh Norman is a big physical cornerback. Crabtree wins by playing the ball through the air and having a little bit more of a physical style. I really think this is going to be a Cooper week.
So you know that there is not a single one of our listeners that's actually going to sit Crabtree though, right? After what he did last week.
you got to. That personally, if you have another option, you just have to go that route. But other than that, I mean, we could easily sit here and say, oh, let's make sure to sit Nelson Agholor because he sucks.
Right. But that's not useful information to have.
Yeah, that's not useful information. I think with sits, and hopefully people take this part of it to heart, when we say sits, maybe you should look at it as the upside is going to be limited for these guys. This is not your primary must-start position for these type of players, and the ceiling will be capped. And you really have to look at it as, what type of other maybe high leverage options that have a higher ceiling can I put into my lineup to offset the risk that I'm going to have with that low ceiling player?
Right. And that's a good point too, especially with guys like we mentioned with Crabtree and Fournette, they probably have a pretty high floor. They just don't have those upsides. So if you need to slot one of these guys into your third wide receiver spot or your flex spot for Fournette, do that. I mean, that you're probably going to be fine. It's just one of those things like tempering expectations, like you said. So maybe sit isn't quite the right thing, but we're just fading these players a little bit this week. So do you have another sit before we move on to some maybe some streamers and some defenses?
Oh, let's move on, brother.
Cool. So my next, I want to say streamer, but I'm not that confident in this one yet, but I'm going to say add and hold Austin Seferian Jenkins. He returns from suspension this week. So we don't know quite yet how he's going to fit into this offense, but it's an offense that is desperate for anybody to get to catch the ball. They're making Jermaine Kearse a thing. They're so hard up for pass catchers. And the interesting thing about Seferian Jenkins is he's coming back not only into a potentially a big target share on a team that should trail quite a bit, but their next four matchups are Miami, Jacksonville, at Cleveland, and New England. And all four of those teams are top five in giving up fantasy points to opposing tight ends so far this season. Now, it's only 2 week sample size, but when you have four matchups against the top five matchups that you could possibly have for a tight end, that's something that's exciting to me. So I think that you can definitely, you're not going to probably start Austin Seferian Jenkins this week, because I bet you have a better option or option that you're more confident in. But going forward, he's going to be somebody that you probably want to have on your roster in 2 weeks when he gets Cleveland. I think that's going to be somebody that can pay some big dividends for you. He's a young guy. Hugely talented. I believe in the talent, as they say, and I'm excited to see what Austin Seferian Jenkins can do.
Benny Watson, the Benjamin Button of the tight end position. He sucked when he was young, but seems like the older this guy gets, the better he gets.
Yeah, what happened?
He's like a fine wine, and I mean, he has had years with 100 targets back in 2015 with the Saints. And he had an 80 plus target season with the Cleveland Browns back in 2012. This guy just keeps getting better, and he is a must add. He's a must play. He is Dennis Pitta 2.0. And for an old man, for a guy who's, I will say he's older than I am. I think he's 36.
Yeah.
He is the country strong. He is that farmer guy that you don't want to mess with. I almost said a bad word, and Tyler doesn't know to bleep right here. He is that country strong that is going to out-muscle you, and he definitely brings more impact than Dennis Pitta did last year. I could easily see him being in the 100-plus target range again, and if you pick him up now, he could definitely be a tight end one in PPR leagues for you.
Yeah, Benjamin Watts, I mean, when you're saying in like 2012 with the Browns, he was old then and he's still going. And after an Achilles injury, I don't know how he's doing it. Especially
in the first round pick in 2004.
Oh my goodness. What was I doing in 2004? Learning to write my name.
I was just out of high school.
2004. Yeah. I was in high school, I guess. That's crazy. He's been around for a while. And like you said, I mean, he wasn't doing a whole lot before he kind of had that breakout season in Cleveland where he had all those targets, but he's definitely an exciting guy. And Joe Flacco likes throwing to the tight end, especially now that they have Woodhead out of the offense. There's going to be some opportunities there for him to make some hay.
Got to hit the tight end with the deep balls.
That's right. So you have a defense you want to recommend this week?
We can keep it simple, but I will go next level. If you're anyone playing the Colts, anyone playing the Colts, anyone playing the Jets or must streams, I think the Raven, they're the number one defense right now. Obviously, that's a good one. Rams DST will be the last place I'll wrap this up. The San Francisco 49ers, Brian Hoyer has not thrown a single touchdown pass yet, and he has three turnovers. Yes, Carlos Hyde is doing everything you would want from a running back one type of guy, but they have little to no support. Even Pierre Garçon, I think he is averaging right around 8.3 yards for his depth of target. I'm actually not looking that up. I may or may not have read that today. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. Right around 8 yards for his depth of target. He hasn't gotten in the end zone. I wouldn't expect it this week. The Rams have an extremely talented defense, and Aaron Donald is still assimilating back into it.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I like that call. I will bring up one more. If you don't already have them on your team, or you're not already using them, I think that the Eagles are an interesting streamer this week. We've talked about Ereck Flowers on the podcast before. And just the guy is a revolving door at left tackle. And apparently you don't even have to touch Eli Manning to actually sack him. There's, I don't know if you guys have seen this clip from this last week. It is hilarious. Well, first of all, so Eli Manning took a monster hit in that game, just got destroyed. But then on another play, somebody got near him and he like flinched and fell down. So I think that Eli Manning knows where this team's going this year. And if he's not going to take a big hit if he doesn't have to. So you might even get some freebie sacks on. And, the Eagles have some speed on defense. So that could be an interesting streamer for you if you need somebody there. So that's it for the streamers, unless, Tim, you want to throw out one more.
I want to throw out a challenge. And okay. This is actually, I want to sneak this in. Everyone should listen closely, because I know Tyler doesn't listen this far in when he's editing our podcast. So I want to make a challenge. We are getting good feedback on the podcast, but I want iTunes reviews. I actually want people to go out there and put their name to it, along with the Tilts on Twitter. I want to know what you're thinking about the podcast. We want some feedback. We know there seem to be a lot of people that like the podcast, but we actually want the iTunes reviews. It would be hilarious if the Fantasy Tilt that just started has more reviews than the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I'm just saying.
Ooh, I like it.
If we can get this going, I know Tyler's not going to listen that far in when he's editing. So please keep it on the down low. Let's talk easy to one another and let's do this.
Yeah, get in there. So make sure when you do leave us an iTunes review, you're going to be leaving it under the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, because that's where you'll find the podcast. But just go ahead and put, Fantasy Tilt in the subject line, and then get after it in there and let us know how we're doing. That's good stuff there. One more thing I do want to mention, and it's sort of the back behind the scenes stuff. You may have heard or seen on Twitter, the Dynasty Happy Hour website has been taken down. It sounds like it may be temporary, and that may be going back up. Obviously, our podcast will remain strong. We're still going to be here doing this. But it does leave our Fantasy Tilt t-shirts without a home temporarily. So if you want to get a Fantasy Tilt t-shirt, go ahead and send us a direct message on Twitter, and we'll arrange that with you while we're trying to find a platform to sell those from. They're $19. We are still doing a donation for everyone that we sell to Alzheimer's Research and Awareness. That's going to Hilarity for Charity. So it's a good cause there, and they're sweet shirts. So the shirts aren't gone. It's just the website. So we'll work something out there, and you can check us out through Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitter at Keaton Denley, and Tim on Twitter at Tim NFL. As always, Frank is at Dynasty Frank, and we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.